This past Monday, Stan Grant, a prominent Wiradjuri journalist, stepped down as host of the ABC's Q&A, citing racist online abuse following his guest panel appearance during the King's coronation coverage and, in his own words, the institutional failure of the ABC to publicly defend him. Although the ombudsman cleared the ABC yesterday, Stan's resignation column has been picked up by the BBC and the New York Times, both highlighting how modern Australian newsrooms look very little like modern Australia, despite both the census and media diversity report last year indicating a more multicultural migrant Australia. Dr. Dennis Muller, Senior Research Fellow at the Centre for Advancing Journalism at the University of Melbourne, is on the line right now to provide insight on how the ABC and we as a society have failed Stan Grant. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
It's a little broad to say mass media is directly racist. How then does mass media fuel the racist trolls on social media?
Well, they provide the fuel stock, don't they? They provide the basis upon which a lot of the material on social media is created to begin with. There's lots of stuff on social media, of course, which doesn't come from mass media. But in the story we're talking about, which is a Stan Grant story, it does come from mass media. So what is broadcast on television or radio or in the newspapers provides the sort of fuel for what is then picked up on social media. Now, it's true that the professional mass media were not racist, as far as I could see, in any overt way in the way they covered the Stan Grant story. But the way in which they singled Stan Grant out, and this is particularly true of the Australian newspaper, the way they singled him out from the other members of the panel, and the sort of words they used about him, referring to his rants and his tirades, these are the sort of inflammatory words which they know, or ought to know, then provide the stimulus for the trolls on social media to go to the next level of racism, where it really is racist.
We're taught that it's editorial standard to present facts neutrally as they are, regardless of our own personal opinion. But everyone carries valuable perspective from their lived experience. Is journalistic objectivity even possible, let alone achievable?
Yes, it is. It's actually not just possible, it's measurable. Because if you actually unbundle impartiality, which is the concept we're talking about, you find that it consists of about six different elements, all of which you can go and examine in relation to any one story. Accuracy, fairness, balance, which means following the weight of evidence, no conflict of interest, open-mindedness, and decisions based upon news values. I mean, you can actually look into all of those. Now, of course, it's true that we all bring our personal predispositions to our work, but that's true not just of journalists, it's true of lawyers, it's true of scientists, it's true of school teachers. And so it's a question of professional discipline to set aside your personal preferences and broadcast or write your stories based upon those principles of impartiality.
There's an entire section in the job application process on the ABC's careers portal referring to diversity and inclusion. A quick look at the I Stand With Stan hashtag on Twitter indicates that many feel like this, alongside with the quote-unquote commitment to do better, feels like token lip service. How do we change the underlying structures and business models of mass media to actually do better?
Well, I think it does require a huge recognition that we in the media, in the professional mass media, we are still very white and very Anglo-Saxon. I mean, that is just a reality. Mm. And partly that's because of the language requirements of broadcast and of writing. But there are lots and lots of people who don't come from that white Anglo-Saxon background whose language skills are very, very strong and equally as good as any white Anglo-Saxon person. But it's a question of culture. I mean, we all of us have a tendency to employ and mix with people who are like ourselves. And it takes a huge effort of will and organizational drive to change that culture. And I just don't think any of our media organizations, including the ABC, have put in sufficient effort of will to actually make that happen. So it is a question of recognizing that there are particularly vulnerable groups in the community of the kind that tend to get targeted and trolled on social media. Their voices need to be increased. And so it's going to take a very large positive effort, much more than we've put in so far, to make that happen.
Aside from just media institutions, how can Australia meaningfully progress from here beyond just a trending "We Reject Racism" hashtag?
Oh, John, that's a huge question. We are confronted, I think, with trying to overthrow 250 years of our European history and all of the attitudes that underpin all that. We are still very much an Anglo-Saxon nation, even though we're very much a multicultural nation too. Look, there's no one answer to it. It is a question, I think, of trying to think about the sort of Australia we want to be part of. Do we want to be part of an inclusive society, or do we want to go on thinking of ourselves as some kind of European outpost in Asia? And that's a question I don't think Australia has ever answered for itself. And until we do, not very much will change fundamentally.
Well, thank you very much, Dennis.